I was thinking about what to share with a group of people who work in the travel industry and a group of travelers. And I thought that the most important thing that I can share with people is just what I have learned from photography. Photography is an important part of my life. I started taking pictures when I was 6 years old, and I've never stopped since then. And I think I've learned a few things, a few basic things from photography that I think that most people can benefit from hearing, probably. I don't know. The first thing that I've learned with photography is that you have to be where you are. It's impossible to take pictures if you're thinking about something else, if there's something in your heart that is causing you pain, if there is something else that is taking all your attention. In Buddhist meditation, you spend a lot of time just trying to do that, to be present, to be where you are. Are we fully here? This is the only moment we have. This is reality. And this moment is going to go away. You probably are never going to see me again. This moment is never going to happen again. And you can choose to be present, or you can choose to be away in a place that doesn't exist. And it's so wonderful because photography teaches you just that. To be a photographer, you have to be aware of everything that is happening around you. You have to pay attention to every single detail. You have to love the fact that you are where you are. And there is so much wonder around. There's so much to see. And we don't pay enough attention. The other thing that you need that I have learned from photography is that you have to be open. You have to be willing to let the world touch you. If you're not willing to let the world touch you, the photographs that you're going to take are not going to touch anyone either. So you have to be exposed. You have to be open. You have to be present. I'm asking a lot. And you have to get close. I asked some time ago a good friend, a French photographer, Pascal Maître, one of the best in France and in the world, when I was starting as a photographer, and he said, just get close. If you're 3 feet away, you're too far away. Get close. You need to be 2 feet away, 1 foot away. And that also means that you're going to be invited, that you have been invited to come close to that person. You cannot possibly go to someone with a camera and stick it into their face. They're going to be very upset. You have to be invited. And that, as a photographer, is key. You need to get invited. You need to state your intentions very clearly. You need to be respectful, very respectful. A photograph is just a piece of film, some plastic, some numbers in the computer. It's nothing else. The important thing is that it allows us to get close to other people. I was saying before that photography is a passport that allows us to get into spaces that we don't know. You cannot possibly go to someone's home and say, hey, I'm here, I would like to see your house. But if you have a camera around your neck and you're a photographer, excuse me, do you mind if I take some pictures of your house? Do you mind if I take some pictures of your family? And it's very likely you will be invited. Curiosity. If you don't have curiosity, it's going to be very hard to be a photographer. And I want to make sure that I'm clear about this. I'm not saying that I can do these wonderful photographs or anything. All I'm saying is that as a human being, I have learned through photography that I have to be present, that I have to be kind, that I have to be respectful, that I have to get close, and that I have to be curious, because the world is full of wonder. As I was growing up, my mother had painted on my closet something from The Little Prince, and he had written on my closet, one sees clearly only with the heart. Anything essential is invisible to the eyes. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry wrote that on The Little Prince. And I didn't understand that when I was a young kid. Anything sensual is invisible to the eye. Well, I'm sure you can see everything. And I realized that you need a lot of quiet to see sometimes. It took a lot of time to understand what this means. In that passage in The Little Prince, the author is talking about how we get to know each other, how we get close to each other. And the only way to get close to each other is by spending time with each other. You lower the barriers, you talk, you have a dialogue. I think the greatest wonder of being alive is that we can have a dialogue with other human beings. Sometimes you meet someone that changes your life. He says something that you need to hear. And that person becomes a part of you. That meeting, as fleeting as it might be, becomes a part of you. And you are changed because of that meeting, because of that dialogue. And that is what traveling is about. Looking for dialogue, looking for the possibility of sharing. Understanding that, yes, you might have the means to travel everywhere, but having those means don't make you wiser, don't make you better than anyone else. You can learn from a farmer in the middle of nowhere. You can learn from any human being, from your neighbor, from anyone, if you are just willing to listen. And that takes us to another thing that for me is extremely important. There are only two subjects that I photograph that I care about, love and death. I think those are the only two things that really matter. And love is the way we bond with each other. The way we come close to each other. That's what love is. And really, death is the same thing, because death is terribly painful, because it means those bonds, those beautiful bonds, are broken. When my father died a few years ago, I wrote something and I said, how welcome is this grief, this pain, because it means we have lived, hurt, we have laughed, we have dreamed, we have feared, we have hurt, we have laughed. Welcome grief and welcome pain, this most human of pains, because thanks to you we know how much and how intensely we have lived. Beautiful pain. There's so much beauty in death because it just represents all those bonds that we have created through dialogue. Looking for dialogue. I'm going to show you some photographs as we go. I don't want to bore you with my words. And just tell you a little bit about what it means to be a photographer and what I have learned from it. I think that I need to be extremely thankful because I've seen a lot of beauty, I've seen a lot of pain, and I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful to be able to speak. I'm thankful to be. We are the sum of our encounters. We are all the people we have met along the way. That's who we are. There's so many people who have touched us, who have changed us. And Australia did. Every place needs to change you in some way. That's why you go. Otherwise, it's better to stay home. The people you meet, if you'll give them a chance, will transform you. I was very sad after my father died, and I went to Cusco, which is a little town in the south of Peru, a town that is very close to my heart. And I had it. I just couldn't cry. I had too much pain inside, and there was a taxi driver who was driving me around. I was supposed to take pictures, and I just could not get the pain out of that, but I was feeling so sad and so disconnected from my own pain. I just wanted to cut my hand off, because that's what I wanted to do with my pain. I wanted to cut it off. I didn't know how to deal with that pain. And this very simple taxi driver just started talking to me in a very simple simple manner. And he took me to the main square of Cusco, which is called Huacaypata, which means up on tears. And I asked him, well, why is it called up on tears? That's a very strange name for a square, Huacaypata. And he explained me that the history had been very painful in that square, that many people have been killed in that square. Many people were executed by the Spanish when they arrived. And it was a place where there was a lot of pain. And I said, well, why up on tears? And he said, well, when your heart is in pain, you have to take it very carefully, and you have to put it up on tears. You have to make sure it stays moist, because otherwise it's going to become hard as a rock and it's going to break. The only way is putting very gently up on tears. And I wrote this little text, it's not long, about inspired in this conversation with the taxi driver in Cusco. Does your heart ache, son? Does your heart ache? How beautiful the heart is when it aches. It is a hummingbird trying to escape your breast, fluttering, fluttering. This plaza, Cusco's Plaza Mayor, we call Huacaypata. That means up on tears. When the heart aches, son, we lay gently upon tears so that we'll stay moist, so it won't dry up and crack. That is why people cry, to give our heart the moisture it needs so it won't get sick or turn hard as a rock. You ask me what will cure sickness of heart. That is very easy, very, very easy. You pick the tiniest flowers, those tender little ones whose petals haven't picked out yet, and you put them in fresh water. The next morning you drink that water. Those tiny little flowers hold a world of energy, a world of hope. They have the power to awaken a bud here, a bloom there. But son, do not try to tear your heart from your breast. When your hand hurts, you don't hack it off. When your leg hurts, you don't leave it by the side of the road. Why then, when your heart aches, do you want to tear it out of your breast? Just tear it right out. You care for your hand. You stroke it. You rub your leg with salves and let it rest. Why do you want to tear your heart out of your breast? Your heart is most beautiful when it weeps. It needs that special water from those little flowers. It needs salves. It needs stroking. It needs rest. Tell your heart, go ahead and weep. Take it to the Plaza of Huacaypata and let it flutter around like a hummingbird. I think we need to give the world the license to touch us. We can remain closed, enclosed, behind barriers, behind doors, or we can allow the world to touch us. And that's a choice we need to make. And letting the world touch us means feeling pain, feeling joy, creating bonds, coming close to one another, being alive. That's the choice we need to make. Life is not life without poetry. I'm talking about the license we give the world to touch us, change us, wound us, carry us away, lift us up, drag us down, save us, expose us, wrap us in warmth, strip us naked. Poetry is that. Feeling, being alive. I did a story for the National Geographic magazine that was published in December 2003 on the tango. When I first went to Buenos Aires, I went to some tango shows and I felt they were so fake. All these dancers exaggerating. Supposedly they were very sensual and it was all so fake. It was all for tourists, it was all a show. And I felt really sad because I thought I had chosen the wrong subject altogether. I had proposed that story to the magazine and I thought it was going to be exciting. And when I went there, I just was so disappointed. It took me several months to start getting the feel of tango, feeling the music, understanding the nostalgia. You cannot communicate what you don't have inside you. It's impossible to communicate that you have not experienced yourself. So as a photographer, it's very difficult because you go to a new place, you don't understand that place, and you have to tell a story about the place. I mean, a writer couldn't possibly do it. But a photographer is expected to do it. But we have exactly the same requirements as a writer. You need to get involved. You need to feel. You need to get close. I remember one night I was taking pictures, and there was this man who was dancing wonderfully. And I started taking pictures of him, and he got really upset. He said, "Why are you taking pictures of me? You were not supposed to be taking pictures of me." I felt completely out of place, and somebody said, "Hey, come over here. You've been here many weeks. Obviously, you are paying some respect to tango, because I've seen you a lot around here. Okay, sit down with us. I'm going to introduce you to some people." That was the beginning. And this friend of mine, who is now a good friend of mine, took me to see the night of Buenos Aires, and that changed my perception. And there was an old man who explained me tango. Tango is very useful for everyone. We can learn something from every place we go to. Tango is very useful in one sense, and he said it beautifully. The most revealing definition of tango, this is from a book that I just published, and I wrote some texts related to that. The most revealing definition of tango comes from the old men of the night. Tango is embrace. More than music, more than poetry of the old-time language of Lunfardo, more than the constant flirting and overwhelming presence of the senses, it is the embrace that expresses our humanity. More than any other thing we do, when we embrace one another, we rescue one another from abandonment. We identify ourselves as members of our species. An embrace is a powerful alchemical tool. It turns sadness into sweet. We are the species that embraces, that hugs, that takes in, that touches, that swathes, that protects. The tango turns an embrace into human poetry. You know, we forget often that every moment is unique. And we forget to be thankful for every moment that we live. Sometimes we're not paying enough attention. And I think that's what photography has taught me. Often I choose not to go with a camera. But I already learned that there is so much wonder out there, that there's so much beauty in human bonding and human connection. And that gift is out for anyone who wants to take it. Dialogue. We need more dialogue. We need so much dialogue. We need to start communicating. So I don't know if you have any questions, if there's anything that I can respond, or... Yes, Jim. Oh my gosh, a great photograph. I don't think I've taken a great photograph yet. No, I think I'm starting to take good photographs because I'm feeling more confident now. But a good photograph gives you a mood. It doesn't need to be all... The composition doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be even beautiful. It just needs to make you feel something. A good photograph is powerful. It stirs you up. Something changes inside you when you see it. And there are very few photographs that stay in your mind and remain there for a long time. And everybody probably has their favorite photographs, but there are only a few. If as a photographer we're lucky enough to make one of those, two of those, I mean, it would be fantastic. Yes?
I was wondering if you could... to the issue of travelers going on a trip for 2 weeks. And the whole thing about, you know, being invited in to take a photograph, and all that takes some time. And I've gotten so sensitive to it. When I'm in Namibia, I don't even like people taking pictures of the himba. I'd rather have them by the postcard. But it's something that a lot of travelers are driven to do. And I just wanted to see if you would address the issue of people passing through a place quickly.
These photographs that you just saw are some numbers in the computer, as I was saying before, or a piece of plastic somewhere. That's all they are. They are a tool to communicate something, and as long as they're a tool to communicate something, I think they're worthwhile, they're valid. But the most important thing you need to do as a photographer is respect other human beings. What if someone came by your house and started taking pictures of you? You would say, hey, well, why are you taking pictures of me? Well, wait a moment. It's very easy to take pictures of poor people because they're exposed. And they don't have the power to say, no, don't take pictures of me. Go take a picture of your neighbors, the ones you don't know, and see if they... and they're your neighbors. You might have to get to know them first before you start taking pictures. The same applies for everyone. You have to be respectful. So, I've led a few photo trips, and this is a very sensitive issue. It's because people forget. Photography is just a tool to communicate, and if it becomes a weapon, no, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. Photography needs to bring you closer to people. It's not a weapon. If it's used as a weapon, it's not for me. And I have that very clear. So I think it's a matter of telling people, look, the first thing is respect. If you laugh with someone, share some time with someone, and that person is willing to have their photographs taken, wonderful. It's a gift. If not, let it go. The best photographs are not the one you take when you're driving by. It's not a drive-by shooting. The best photographs are taken with patience and care. Yes.
We actually just have room for one last question. Before I take that question, I just want to remind you, if you can please fill out the form, and we'll collect that on the way out. Thanks.
Thank you. Mine actually is just a comment. When I was in Cuba several years ago, our host said, don't take pictures of people without asking them. And very often, the Cuban people would want you to send them the picture because many of them didn't have access to have photographs of themselves. And it became this beautiful exchange between two people. And everybody said yes. And then were able to receive something back from it. So just a nice experience.
As I said, not just for photography. The meaning of life is dialogue. Dialogue. We have different levels of dialogue. With those who are closest to ourselves, sometimes dialogue is difficult. We have one kind of dialogue. But with every human being, we can have some sort of dialogue. And especially that encounter is going to transform us. That is the great opportunity of traveling. That is the gift that we have. We can be transformed if we allow the world to touch us. It is our choice. Let us be thankful and let the world transform you. Let the world touch you, change you. So thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate being with you all.
I just want to say thank you for Pablo for coming all the way from Ecuador to join us to do this presentation. And thank you for joining us also for the session.